Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artists First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe Live. This show airs at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at @artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live, Nancy and Lisa.
Well, hi, Corey. Thank you for that great introduction. We are so excited to be live on Chit Chat Cafe Live on Artist First. Time to unwind and enjoy some chit-chat. We've got great guests tonight. Nora Marler, the author of No More Dating Pigs. Jesse Sinsack is going to update us on ABC's The Bachelor. And Rachel Cash, the founder of Lulu Blossom, will chat with us later about her exquisite skincare. Oh, we're ready for some great hot topics. And Lisa, I know you have a thank you.
I do. I have to tell everybody, we were in Baltimore last night. Went to go to my son's concert. He goes to Johns Hopkins Peabody Conservatory. And we always like to take him out to dinner when we go. It's like a two-hour drive for us. So he wanted to go to Little Italy. So we went to this place called Della Notte in Little Italy in Baltimore. His friend is a waiter there, but his friend wasn't working last night, so his friend made the reservation for us. And this was how to be. First of all, we were underdressed. My son did not tell us how dressy this was. I thought it was just going to be like a little casual mom and pop kind of place. Oh, no. It was a fancy. It looked like something that would have been in a soap opera. It was just a beautiful restaurant. It was really fine dining. I mean, everything was so elegant, so beautiful. The atmosphere was just, it was just gorgeous. So it was very, very, very expensive. It was like $35 for a pasta dish.
Wow.
Yeah, really. We, you know, my husband ordered soup, but my son and I were eating the bread like crazy. The bread was so good. It was real crusty with olive oil, you know, so good. But they sent over appetizers, complimentary appetizers. And we figured, okay, well, that's nice because, you know, he knew one of the waiters. But like I said, the waiter wasn't working there. So, you know, we ate dinner and we had dessert. I figured the bill was going to be about $200, easy, because it was expensive. When we asked for the bill, they said, it's taken care of. Don't worry about it.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you believe it?
Wow.
So I really want to give a plug out to Della Notte. It was a beautiful, beautiful restaurant. The food was excellent. And I'd recommend it highly if you're ever in Baltimore. You know, it's a little ways down from the harbor, Little Italy. It's just a really cute little area with all little Italian restaurants. But this was really, really nice.
Oh, what a nice surprise.
That was really a nice surprise. Yeah, it was. And it was just a nice experience.
Wow, that is great, you know, to be treated so nice on the evening. And Lisa, I have to say, I am so proud of your son, Adam, for his performance.
I know, isn't he? He's so cute. Yeah, he does well. He loves it. You know, it's a nice little gig he's got there at Peabody. So hopefully he'll got two more years, he'll graduate and get a job in an orchestra.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
We'll see, hopefully.
Well, I have to say, we have one little hot topic for tonight. They've released, well, at least it was Huffington Post, released the top 25 names for your pets. And some of them are Ginger, Jake, Bear, Harley. Well, our dogs, my little Jack is sitting right here, made the list, and so did your dog, Molly.
Oh, Molly made the list, too?
Molly, the number one pet name right now is Bella.
Oh, well, I think that's even true with little girls. I think everybody's Bella.
Yeah. Thank you, Twilight. But anyway, I just thought that was really cute, and they had cute pictures of all the pets. So today it was crazy. I even tweeted, Lisa, I'm busy doing last-minute research, reading on all of our guests, tweeting and posting. And the whole time I'm doing it, I'm talking to my little dog, Jack, about it all. That's what I do.
He feels part of the family.
Yes.
Well, I guess we're going to get to our first guest.
Can't wait.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I want to introduce our guest who wrote the book, author of No More Dating Pigs. I love that title. You Are What You Date is a fun and the self-help book, and it's a dating guide for single women of every age. And the author is Nora Marler. Am I pronouncing that right, Nora?
Yes. Yes, Nora Marler.
Welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me.
So where did you get this title? Was it first by guys? What made you write this?
Well, it did just come to me one day when I had been fed up with getting into bad dating habits with dating guys with relationships that were lasting about a year and kind of getting my hopes let down, and maybe they weren't so honest. And I one day just got really fed up. I'd been hearing it from my girlfriends. I see it in the news all the time with gorgeous, famous women, and it happens to them. And standing in line at Starbucks, women are talking about it all the time. Why are guys acting like pigs and lying and cheating and just not doing the right thing sometimes? So I was in an experience that was a bad one, and I got fed up, and I just said, hey, no more dating pigs for me. And I started a dating journal, and I just took some time off, and I started writing down how I was going to improve my dating skills. And just by accident, I put together a formula that actually works. And I learned to take some time off and ask myself why I was dating guys that were maybe behaving like kind of piggish. Mm-hmm. And then I learned how to spot them early on before I even entered a relationship with them. So,
When you say pig, what are you referring to? Like somebody that's like loud and dirty and fat and like a loud mouth? Or just somebody that just doesn't respect women and has a self-entitlement? Has a sense of self-entitlement, like everybody owes them, you know, like just not, no chivalry. Is that
absolutely
what you're referring to?
Yes. It would be a self-serving, gluttonous individual, someone that doesn't have much thought about what another person's feelings are in a relationship or how that person is affected. They're basically misleading and manipulate people for their own needs when it comes to a relationship. And it would be a one-sided relationship, like you're giving and they're taking. And I'm kind of being really tough with the way I'm describing it. I'm trying to actually be funny about it, but we know that there are women and men that get in these relationships, and when you're the person that is giving, and you think that maybe this relationship is going somewhere, and then you realize one day that it wasn't, a lot of women don't take it so well, and men don't either, and women don't like being lied or cheated to, or giving false hopes and directions just to satisfy someone else's needs. So,
do you think that women cause a lot of this themselves?
Yes, actually,
I do. They take it. They'll sleep with a guy on the first date.
Yeah.
They, you know, let him get away with stuff. You know, they just, because they feel desperate and they feel like they're never going to meet anybody. So guys get spoiled, and I think they can treat women like this. Don't you think it's a lot of it the women's fault?
Yes, and the book is, it's definitely a strong title, and men write in all the time, and they either love it or they hate it, I'll be honest, but more of them love it, and I'm really pleased to have that, and I respect men so much more than I ever have, and I always have. It's not a man-bashing book in any way. It actually is praising the good men that are out there, that are great for relationships, and want relationships, and I'm actually tougher on the women in the book, because basically what I say is, hey, like the subtitle, you are what you date, so make good dating choices, because you're not going to get a good relationship if you don't, and there are plenty of good men out there, and that is what I point out to women. I'm tough on them. I'm saying in the book, lecturing, that you have to love yourself first and respect yourself if you expect someone else to do the same.
Well, in your book, you talk about, of course, pigs caring only about themselves. I'm sorry to laugh, but every time I say that word pigs, it's so fun.
It is. I did put a lot of humor in the book, and we could call them bad boys, But I have to just jump in real quick before I want to hear your thoughts about what you read. But I do like to share this. I never coined the phrase pig. We all know what a pig is, and men can tell you what a pig is long before a woman could, because it's the guy that they wouldn't let date their sister or their daughter. I know when I was back in high school, my big brother wouldn't let me date any of his friends, and he used to say, I'd say, but why? And he'd say, because they're pigs. So,
now, what would happen if it was a best friend?
Because he at that age, he just knew that they only had one thing in mind, and that's what women that are looking for relationships want to avoid.
You know, speaking of avoiding that, what is your best tip to women, you know, about, as you, in your book, for example, you talk about the best way to spot a pig and how to avoid one. Share that.
Well, there are so many ways. I offer a quick telltale sign. If you're out, first of all, avoid places like happy hours, because you're not going to find love there. No way. I tried it. I dated in New York. I've been to the best happy hours. You're only going to get yourself into trouble. So telltale signs would be, is he a charmer, a groper, a bragger, an interrupter, a boozer? These are kind of, again, there's humor in there, but they're really factual, and they will help. These guys that are do these kind of things that come up to you right away, if he's the whiner and he's whining, he's looking for your sympathy and your attention. If he's a boozer, he's got the buzz, he's holding his glass of wine, and he's exaggerating about the boat he owns, and he's got tickets for the Yankees, or, you know, just walk away. Don't even get yourself into trouble. And those are some quick signs. But just in general, I always say pay really close attention to what he's saying. Let's say you met a guy and it's really great meat. You're standing in the grocery store line and you make it to the first date. Pay really close attention to what he's saying, and particular close attention to what he's saying about women. Because if he's talking bad about his ex-wife or the waitress, it's kind of a warning right there up front. And that's the best advice I could give in the book, is don't ignore the warning signs, which, to your earlier point, many women do out of their desperation looking for the one, because they don't want to be alone. And don't believe he'll be different toward you. Don't believe you can change him. And don't be gullible. Don't believe everything he tells you. Because pigs do lie.
Exactly. So are we hoping that there are enough gentlemen and wonderful great guys out there for all the single women?
Yes. I'm telling you, I don't even need to hope. I know there is. I'm recently married. I'm a newlywed, September 29th, and I found my prince. And as I stated earlier in the interview, the book started honestly as just simply a dating diary. But I started writing these things down, and it was working, working, working. I was making better dating choices and finding these good men that are out there. And I promise women that the good guys are out there, and men too, because men do write in about the book, and they like it that it's just basic relationship and dating advice that will help anyone that's really tired of dating the wrong person. And if you have fallen into that path, then you need this book, because there are plenty of good people out there.
Is that with any age, or you think it's the key? You think the pool gets, you know?
No, definitely
older?
With any age. I am 44, and I thought when I hit 40 and I was single, I thought, oh, this is it. I guess what the television shows and the junkie magazines about, what is it? I've heard it before. It's, you have a better chance.
A better chance of actually dying
of a terrorist
terrorist attack than getting married or something. Like
yes, and I was kind of sad. I thought, oh boy, this is gonna be hard. But I did always believe in the fairy tale relationship. Well, maybe not the fairy tale, but a good one. It feels like a fairy tale. We have any relationships has its good and bad days. We all know that. And I love hearing from people that have been in a relationship for, say, 20 years, because they'll tell you there are good days and bad days. But again, in my book, I put down that you must have the same foundation, starting it out strong with your moral beliefs and having things in common, and you'll find your guy. But sometimes it's a needle in a haystack because we're surrounded by so many people. So you just have to be patient. He's out there. He's coming. Get ready for him and be the best you can be when you find him.
Well, it sounds very exciting. We do have your link up on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website. It's a great night for all of our listeners to click on that link and order this fabulous book. No more dating pigs. I love saying that.
You do like that. Well, may I ask you if any of you are single, or is there anyone in your studio that's single?
Yes, we have a bunch of single people. Lisa and I happen to be married, but we've been there, seen the pigs.
Okay.
I look around and I see, oh my God, if I end up being single again, I think I'm going to just be... Stay single.
I hear that from a lot of women.
I
do hear that from a lot of women. They've been burned so many times, they don't even want to date.
Really? Like, you see guys walking around big bellies and, oof. Like, you know, the older you get, you're like, bleh.
Well, it definitely gets tough out there, and you have to really enter the dating world with some discriminating thoughts and reserve. And when I say discriminating, I mean that in a positive way, of that's wrong, that's not healthy, that's not good. If he has that big belly, what's it from? Maybe he's drinking. So these are things that I do say, again, in my book, don't only listen with your ears, listen with your eyes. So it was interesting that you brought that point up about what you're seeing in the what you think you're seeing in the dating world, in the single world.
And we love the book cover.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Really sharp.
Thank you so much.
Now, where can they get your book?
They can get it anywhere. You can visit my website, noramarler.com, or Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Borders. It's available on the Nook book. It's Kindle, it's everywhere, audio, and it's available in Spanish because dating pigs is a worldwide problem. So, yeah, it's available everywhere, and we've been having a lot of fun with it. It's a great topic, and it's relatable to everybody because if we've been so lucky and we haven't had to have a dating a pig experience, well, we all know someone that has, and so it's a lot of fun, and I did try to add a lot of humor to such a tough topic.
Well, we will have to have you join us again to give us a pig update.
Well, thank you, girl, so much.
And in the start of the new year, we are going to be hosting a one-hour Women Tell All. So perhaps you could join us for that as well. And lend your worldly advice.
Okay, I will do.
That'd be great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Nora.
Oh, thank you, Lisa and Nancy. It was a pleasure joining you tonight. Have a great holiday season. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Yes, that's a really cute cover and the title. No more dating pigs. I think that's helpful to a lot of people. I like saying
for sure.
That.
Yep.
So we are being joined by Jesse Sinsack. Is that you, Jesse?
That's me. How's it going?
Oh, we are just excited. I just saw what you posted on Facebook about your new show, The Reality Smackdown. Excited about that. But before we get into that, we have to ask, what are these allegations that we've seen all over Facebook?
Yeah, so apparently Mike Fleiss, executive producer of The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and Bachelor Pad, is suing Reality Steve the blogger for, you know, getting spoilers out there. And I did a little bit of research on kind of the legal system. And basically, there is a law that says if you know that somebody has, like, non-disclosable information, and you get them to divulge that and you make it public information, that's against the law. So technically, on a technicality, Reality Steve could be in some trouble.
Oh,
even
boy.
The lawsuit seems a little bit
crazy.
What
were the spoilers about? The new Bachelorette coming up?
Yeah, and since everybody knows that all that information is, you know, there's contracts on it and it's supposed to be a secret, if you make that information public from somebody from that's under contract telling you, that's against the law, which I did not know that. So technically, if they can prove that he's done whatever they're saying he has done, he could have to pay some money.
Oh, my gosh.
Does this mean you can't tell us the spoilers?
Well, it's not that. I mean, it's, you know, if you have spoilers or, and I don't know the law exactly. I'm not sure if, let's say I was at the filming and I saw it with my own two eyes and I didn't sign a non-disclosure. I'm not sure if I would be allowed to divulge it. Or if it's just the law that says if somebody who has signed a non-disclosure tells you and then you say it, that's against the law. I don't really know the technicalities of the law, but yeah, it's pretty interesting because I couldn't believe it when I first saw that. I was like, this is absolutely ridiculous. He's just doing it as a scare tactic. But there actually is a law out there. I can't believe that he's only suing for $75,000. I figured there'd at least be a six-figure price tag on there.
That is big bucks. Now, Jesse, we are in love with your beat down, and now looking forward to the SmackDown. How will this affect everyone that you chat with? Are you going to have a meeting and tell everyone to be careful about what to say?
No. We're not too worried about it. None of us are under contract. Nothing that we divulge on the show, really, for the most part, is told to us by people that are under contract, so I'm not worried about that. We're just going to keep on keeping on. The format of the show will definitely change because we're changing, you know, websites. I don't think that we're going to shoot live anymore. It was just too difficult to do it live.
Okay.
I think what we'll do is, excuse me, I'm fighting a little bit of a cold. I think what we'll do is we'll shoot it and then post it, you know, next day, but not, there'll be no live viewing and nothing like that. And then I'm also thinking about doing some live blogging to where people can, you know, log on and ask me questions and things like that, and I can answer them during the show. So it'll be interesting. The TV spot's a cool place where you'll be able to access all of your wants and wonders about reality TV. There'll be a ton of content on there.
Yeah, I saw that, where people can actually chat with you live. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be cool to be able to, you know, watch the show and have fans ask questions about, you know, well, what about this and what about that, and be able to, you know, just basically text message with them right on the site, back and forth, little instant messaging.
I got a couple things to ask you. I just read today that Allie and Roberto broke up.
They did. Allie broke up with him.
I felt so bad. I thought they
were
happy.
It's one of
the thing
that people don't understand about that is, you know, when you're getting married, anybody who's going through a wedding and stuff knows how stressful that is. Well, when you add network pressuring you, and not even a network, it's just Mike Fleiss and his production company, down your throat every day about getting married and the wedding plans and stuff, you know, that takes the stress through the roof in the relationship, not to mention knowing that if anything does happen, it's going to end up in every grocery store in North America. That ups the ante as well. So, you know, something that might be on the one on the fight scale usually is now a 10 because everything's public, public, public. You know, it's like when you break your arm, you have to cast. Well, what happened? That's what happens when you break up in Hollywood. You get the broken arm syndrome for a year everywhere you go. Whoa, what happened to that girl you were dating, you know?
Now tell me about, let's talk about Ben. You think this is going to be a good season, or you think it's going to be drab?
Well, I'll put it out. I'll put this out there. When Ben was eliminated on Ashley's season, he was quite the character. He got the sass out, and he told her how it was. You know, he was a pretty sassy dude when he got eliminated. Mm-hmm. He can keep that spunk going throughout his season of the show, not allow the producers to produce him. I think that'll be a pretty interesting season to watch. However, if he allows himself to be produced, and when they say jump, he says how high, I think we're going to have another Jake Pavelka, Brad Womack on our hands.
Oh, boy.
So, only time will tell.
It's going to be exciting. So they have a teaser, was I dreaming about it, that it shows his bare butt?
Yeah, I saw somebody posted something on my Facebook page where they were like going in the ocean. I hate spoilers.
Yeah.
So I try not to, I try not to read that stuff or watch it, but I did see some screen capture or something of him and a girl totally naked, and I'm sure that'll make for some interesting chat, and I'm sure, you know, they're gonna promote that as much as they can.
Yeah, and along with already the spoilers about all the girls crying. What is with these girls crying? I'm sure that you are most attracted to Anne when she's not crying.
guys like strong women, you know. When I say strong, I don't mean like buff. I mean, you know, mentally stable and strong at heart. With that being said, when you take somebody and you keep them up for 20 hours straight and you pump them full of alcohol and then put a camera in their face and have a producer tell them that so-and-so called them a slut or called them fat, they're bound to cry, and that's exactly what production does.
Dude, it was a drama. That's what we talk about when we're chatting on my wall. We talk about all the idiots crying and carrying on and acting like fools.
Exactly. Drama, problem, solution equals a great reality television show.
I heard there's an old lady coming on, isn't there? Oh, you see the previews.
I haven't watched any previews yet. I'm gearing up to do a premiere party out in L.A. January 2nd with Dave Gooden.
Oh, I wish we could go.
Yeah, and so I haven't watched any previews. I'm trying to keep all the surprises for the red carpet at that event, so it'll be cool.
So tell us about the premiere party. What, like, where is it, and who's going to be there? And
so me, Dave Good, and Jesse Kovacs are going to be hosting it. It's going to be at the Parlor in L.A., which is owned by Ben, Ben Henry, who was a contestant on Survivor. And I would guess you would probably see about 150 of your favorite reality TV personalities there at any given point that day. So January 2nd, I believe it starts at like 6 p.m., and we're going to watch the first episode of Bachelor Season Gazillion. What are we on now, 16, 17, 16?
Mm-hmm.
So should be an interesting day. I'm pretty pumped.
Sometime perhaps we could join you for something fun like that, all you bachelor and bachelorettes, and interview you all live.
Since half of you have been on our show already.
Yeah, we'll have you guys come out and re-interview all your favorite reality personalities right there on the red carpet. That'd be fun.
Well, you know we love having you for a contributor to the Chit Chat Cafe live show.
Well, I love being on, so thank you for having me again.
Well, you know, we really are excited about all that you're doing, and now this new Reality Smackdown. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it'll be good. I'm pumped. The TV Spot is a great website, and, you know, it's pretty new still, so they're still working out the bugs, but I think there's going to be a lot of content on there, and I'm really pumped, and should be rad.
Well, we do have to ask about Noah. How's your baby?
Noah is actually fighting the same cold that I'm fighting.
Oh.
So he's got the runny nose, but he just finished eating his carrots and having snack time before I did the show, so I'm pumped to go back down and play cards with him and watch some Cleveland Browns Pittsburgh Steelers game.
Good, and we will soon love to have your beautiful wife Anne talk about her new store.
Yeah, she her and her partner Katie opened up Vintage Suite and Chic in Breckenridge. And you can check them out on their website, www.vintagesuiteandchic.com. They're on Twitter and Facebook as well. And you can go on there and buy New York LA-style boutique women's clothing at Forever 21 prices. So they're pretty psyched to have such a price point product right here in the mountains of Colorado. So it's pretty rad.
Well, that's awesome.
Totally.
Well, Jesse, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're always excited. We thought of you right away, and we are so thankful that you could give us the latest and greatest news about Bachelor.
No doubt. We'll keep in touch, and thanks again, ladies, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I always love talking about The Bachelor.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Lisa's Facebook page is the best page.
Mm-hmm.
We chat live.
I'd like to thank our sponsors, Intimacy Bras, and we are taking a quick commercial break. So stay tuned to hear about Rachel Cash and founder of Lulu Blossom Skincare.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live.
Well, everybody knows that we love cosmetics, right, Nance?
Yes.
Cosmetics, skincare, beauty, perfume, all girly stuff.
And we'd like to talk about things that we've tried and love.
Absolutely.
Speaking of which,
we got the cutest packages through the mail. How cute are those packages? I got adorable. In the cutest boxes.
I have to tell you, everyone listening, Lisa called me on my cell phone screaming with joy. Nancy, you have to see the packages, darling, let alone the products. We were so excited to get our Lulu Blossom gifts to try so we can talk about our love for them.
Yep. So we would like to introduce Rachel Cash. She's the founder of Lulu Blossom Skincare. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great.
Where did you get that adorable name, Lulu?
It was kind of organic how it came about. I was trying to think about cute names. I kind of had an idea for my packaging, the way I liked it to look, but I really didn't have a name. So I started thinking of a first name first and then something that went with it, and then I wanted some meaning behind it. So I was thinking most of my products are made, they're all natural, they're all handmade, and so I wanted a name that kind of went with that, the natural aspect of the beauty product. And so I started looking up, like Googling words that were names that were natural, and I came up with Lulu. And then started just putting words together like bloom and blossom, and we came up with Lulu Blossom.
So where can your products be found if someone wants to buy them?
Well, they're in a couple of different places now. We started at a place called Dot Fox, which is in Louisville, Kentucky. It's a cute little boutique. I started dropping products off just around neighborhoods that I happen to be in. I have a twin sister who lives there. And I had a woman call me, and she said that she loved my lotions. She said that she'd eat them if she could, and she was putting them in her hair. And she just really loved the products, so she started putting them there. And then we also, those little gift boxes that you get, I started selling those for Christmas. And a woman had contacted me because she got one from her daughter. And she owns a little bed and breakfast in Galena, Illinois. It's called the Corn Mansion. And she sells those little gift boxes when people stop in to stay for the weekend. Husbands will buy them for their wives. And I actually get a lot of really great feedback from that place in particular. We did just get barcodes, so we're going to start trying to hit the bigger markets. I know Urban Outfitters, one of their buyers, contacted me back in November, and they were very interested in the face creams. So we'll see what happens after the holidays. But we're also going to try to hit Macy's and some of the bigger department stores as well.
How did you start? What's your most popular product?
You know, it kind of depends. It goes in waves. I think body lotions were my first product that I ever made, and those are really popular. So those will go, and I'll sell out of those. And then lip balms will be popular for a little while, and then sugar scrubs. So it just kind of depends on what people get their hands on. But, I mean, most of the products are really popular. I would say right now we're doing a bunch of shows for the holidays. I just did one at the Drake Hotel. And we sold a lot of solid perfumes. We sold a lot of body lotions and lip balms. And then we're doing a show this Sunday at a little place called the Glenwood through the Urban Folk Circuit, which is a little folk circuit here in Chicago, Illinois. And people buy some of the lower priced items just to try stuff out. So that's where like the solid perfumes and lip balms will go, and even the body lotions, because everything's pretty reasonably priced.
What do you think your demographic is? Is it more young? Because very cute. Everything's very cute.
Yeah, I won't.
It's very girly. It's very, 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 like, festive looking. It's just adorable.
Yeah, well, I do get a lot of really great feedback about the way that the product looks. And if anybody who knows me knows that I'm super girly, which is really funny because growing up as a kid, I was such a tomboy. And I think somewhere around 20-something, I just became a big girl. So I love everything pink. I like things colorful, and I love anything that looks vintage. So I think I kind of joke with, you know, people about how my demographic is anybody from 8 to 80, because people really respond very well to the packaging. And I'm quite surprised sometimes when men buy stuff from me for themselves, because it's very feminine.
Well, I have a friend named Lulu.
Oh, you do?
I do. She's darling.
And such a cute name.
Careful, because I have to remember you're Rachel, because I feel like saying, hello, Lulu.
A lot of people do ask me, are you Lulu? And it's kind of, I'm quite taken aback because I don't really know what to say. But I do, in fact, say, no, I'm not Lulu, but I do own Lulu. I'm Rachel.
Oh, well, I love it. I love how you spell your name also, Rachel. Well, the products that you sent us, we are just so thankful. I tell you what, that balm seems to be so great for our cuticles and our elbows and feet.
And that's exactly what it's for. And I always tell people, because, you know, I live in Chicago where it's really cold and the winters are long, and your fingers can get chapped, your face can get chapped by all the wind. And so I wanted to make a really nice scent that goes along with it too. So I'm telling these women, you know, at some of the shows and stuff, these are really great for your cuticles and cracked hands, and you can just sit on the couch in your pajamas and rub it on your dry, cracked hands and smell your fingers and think about a tropical vacation somewhere warm. Because it smells like a tropical vacation. So I'm glad that you like
it.
Yes, I do. Actually, most of my products I put shea butter in. I think it's one of the best ingredients on the planet, and it's all natural, and it's so great for your skin.
Well, speaking of that, we're very proud of you. No testing on animals, and I laughed when I read that means you're vegetarian.
Yes, and I am, in fact, a vegetarian.
Now, are you vegetarian or a vegan?
No, I'm not a vegan. The way that I started, and this has actually started the whole process with actually making the products. Some years back, I went on a raw diet. So basically, that just means that food that is really not cooked, it stays under a certain temperature. And that's
how long did it last for you? I tried it. I could only do 5 days.
I'm pretty much still on it. I do eat cooked foods, but I try to at least do 2 raw meals a day.
Good
and
for
I think,
you.
Yeah, I think
what,
it's been...
What do you mean raw meal?
Yeah, nothing cooked. And some things can be, like, dehydrated and things like that. Like, I do these almond burgers, and they have the consistency and the texture of a burger, but it's just made with almonds and ginger. But you can't cook it, so it just dehydrates, and it kind of dries it out, and you soak things. So basically, the thing that's hard about it is if you're trying to make food that resembles food that you're used to having, it's a process. It takes a long time to make. But that's what started me... is being a vegetarian, because most of the foods that play into that diet, they don't contain meat. And so I stopped eating meat, and then I just realized I didn't miss it anymore.
I can see it coming now. The Lulu Blossom Cookbook.
That's a good idea.
You know? Because
yes.
That almond burger that you just described, I'd like to have the recipe for that.
Well, absolutely. I'll send it over to you.
Oh, well, you know, speaking of Chicago, Lisa and I occasionally go to Chicago. It would be fun to meet you there sometime.
Oh, that would be lovely.
That'd be great. Now, you did say your best, or I read it, that your popular product is your body lotion. Just so soothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, my first body lotion that I made was the orange peel chamomile. And what I did... Yeah, and it's really nice because the scent is all natural. It comes from orange essential oils. And the chamomile, I would take whole chamomile flowers and soak them into the water that I would mix with the lotion to make the emulsion. And so it is the chamomile flowers are very soothing to your skin. They're good for anybody who has dry, cracked skin or eczema, things like that. It's very soothing to your skin, and it smells great. So that was my first product that I made. And when I was making these products, I was putting them in ball jars and just giving them away to people just to see what people thought about it. And it turned out being, really popular. So that's how the business started.
And you were founded in 2010.
Yep. I was indeed.
And you have an online store.
Yes, I do. It's LuluBlossomOnline.com.
And we do have your link on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website. For our listeners to find you.
Well, that is wonderful. Thank you, ladies.
We'd also like to rave about your day cream loaded with sunscreen and moisture, but not greasy. It won't leave you greasy.
Yes, and you know, the reason is, and I use this in almost every one of my products, and a lot of people don't realize this, but there are two reasons why. And one is that a lot of lotions that you find on the shelves are made of synthetics. And so your body, being your skin is your largest organ, it tries to protect your insides from anything that isn't natural or isn't good for you. So that's why a lot of the lotions sit on top of your skin, so you always feel that kind of greasy, slick feeling. The other reason is sometimes heavier oils, their molecules are too big, and so they can't actually allow the oils to get into your skin. So I use a grapeseed oil, and it's a carrier oil, so it carries everything else into your skin, so it actually soaks in. So it's nice and soft and soothing, and then you don't have that greasy feeling.
Now, what direction do you want to go with this? Are you going to start having different products, or maybe anti-aging, or which direction are you going? Just bath products, or?
Well, we are actually starting a men's line very soon, and we've already actually just come up with the name of it, and my right-hand man, his name is Boyd Allen. He's a fantastic graphic designer, and he's the one that's been responsible for putting all the labels together and making everything look so cute. We just actually started talking about what we're going to do with the men's line and how we're going to make it look. So that is coming soon.
Oh, cool. Did you think about trying to get into Sephora?
Yes. That is
you look like
on
you
my...
fit in with Sephora.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's on my list of places to go. We have a pretty big list. So basically, now that we have our barcodes, we can ship to big companies such as Sephora, and they'll maybe take a look at us. So that would be great. I would love to walk into Sephora and see a little Lulu Blossom wall.
Well, I could definitely see that on one of the displays, for sure.
Yeah, yes. I mean, we would definitely like to take over some of the higher market department stores and places, definitely like Sephora. That's actually a place that I shop for cosmetics and beauty products, too.
Now, what beauty products did you like before you started your own? Like, what kind of inspired you?
Well, I don't think any product particularly inspired me with my own line. I think it was quite the opposite. What was happening is when I was, because I read every label, and I encourage everyone to read every label, whether it's food, whether it's skincare, because, I mean, skincare is basically food for your body anyway. It's just going on the outside, which in a sense does go on the inside of your skin. So read every label. I was reading labels, and I was kind of grossed out by what I was finding because most of the ingredients had 100, you know, syllables, and I couldn't pronounce it and didn't know what it was. So I wanted to start a line where mainly I could use my own products, and I knew what was in it. So, of course, I would trust what's in it. And something that other people could use and feel comfortable using and would know that it's safe. So that's why I actually started the line. So I wasn't really inspired by any other product. But, of course, I do use products. I try to stay away from anything that has synthetics. I hate parabens. I don't like a lot of alcohols because those things age your skin. So anything that is, you know, natural, I think if any company would have inspired me, and I do like what they do, I would think that it's Burt's Bee, just because they have been able to reach a broad market, and they are natural, and they have pretty good products.
Hmm. Well, we love your logo. How did you think of that?
Well, like I said before, I really like that vintage look, and I really like the bright colors. And so I thought of something vintage, like, you know, I like the old pinups, but of course I wanted it to be cute and a little less sassy. And I liked the fact that I wanted something that she was coming out of the, like a blossom, like almost like Lulu blossoms out of something. And so I hired an artist. She actually is from Illinois, right outside of Chicago. Her name is Jamie. And I just told her that I wanted something like that. And we had a couple mock-ups. And she actually had her as a redhead with a red dress on. And I said, oh, no, that won't do. We need to make her pink and very light and kind of whimsical. And so that's what we came up with. And I love it. I love to look at it. We have a great big banner, and we came up with this little tagline that's go ahead and get some, and it's just cute. It's fun to look at, and it's just a lot of fun.
Well, that is what drew my attention the very first time I saw your sketch there, your vintage girl. I thought, oh, this looks so interesting. We'd love to have you on our show. This is so much fun talking to you about your cosmetics.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And we're having fun tweeting.
Yes, I know. That's why I feel like I already know you ladies, because we've talked so much over Facebook and getting back into tweeting.
I'm now LinkedIn.
Yes. Oh, and LinkedIn, too. I have that. See, there's so many things with social media these days. It's kind of hard to keep up. But I'm trying really hard.
Well, you're doing great. Well, thank you again for sharing your products with us. We were just so thrilled. Your packaging is adorable as well.
Very
well,
nice.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and I'm glad that you found me. I really appreciate the call, and I'm glad that I was able to talk to you, and have a happy holiday.
You too.
Well, thank you.
We'll be in
touch. Thank you so much. Okay, talk to you soon.
Bye.
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 We would
really,
like
really
to
cute.
Remind all of our listeners that we do keep up these links on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website. You can continue to order and find out more information about any and all the guests that we have on our show. Tonight we are thanking our fabulous sponsors, Laura Geller Makeup, Intimacy Bras, and St. Croix Orthopedics. If any of you are interested in being a sponsor to our Chit Chat Cafe Live show, you can contact us at our email chitchatcafelive@yahoo.com. We're thanking Corey King. You can enjoy the Corey King Show every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on Artist First.
And we'd like to thank our guests tonight, Nora Marler, Jesse Sinsack, and Rachel Cash. And I'm reminding everyone to listen to our archives. Just go to our website, scroll down to the show that you want to watch, listen to. Just hit the date, and you can listen to our older shows.
We're thanking all of you for listening tonight. And I'm leaving you with a quote from Mae West. You only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough. Good night, everyone.
Good night.